You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your reader, Carmen.
I'm Tyler, the crime weaver.
I'm Gordy, the naysayer.
Ooh.
This week.
Interesting premonition.
It is not.
What? It's begun.
It is very boring.
Does everybody have their character sheets ready?
Got my dice.
Yeah, we're playing. This is going to be a D&D episode of What the Folklore. Because we know what story we're reading. We've somehow managed to keep track of the set of three that we're invested in.
Yeah, we didn't forget once. Good for us.
Yeah. We were very clued in on these.
Yeah, so today we are traveling to Czechoslovakia to read Intelligence and Luck. This one is sourced from Fairy Tales of Eastern Europe, selected and retold by Neil Philip. It's, I think, perhaps one of the last of those tales we got from this book, so we can say goodbye to Neil Philip.
Close the book on that one.
Did he do good?
He did okay.
Or was he bad?
What were our favorite?
What was favorite Neil Philip? What did Neil Phillips do?
Go listen to all our
Tell
podcasts.
Me his greatest hits.
You make me load another document if you really want that.
I do not.
Too late.
Make something up. Don't look for real information. Just make it up.
That's not my job on here.
It's everybody's job on
here. I am
here.
Your reader. I have to read.
My favorite from this book was that one with the frogs in it.
The frogs?
Loved that one.
The day the devil fisted three frogs.
Loved it.
What, wasn't that what it was called?
It touched me. Not like that, though.
I bet. Not in a bad way.
Feather of Bright Finis the Falcon was pretty good.
Do you not remember that one at all?
Firebird. Well, that
don't remember that one.
That came from a different book. Never mind.
You gotta tell me. Don't tell me the titles of the stories. Tell me what we talked about in that episode. I don't really remember what happens in the stories.
Carmen, do us a favor.
I remember the journeys.
When you open your mouth, play a recording of our episode.
No, guys. Neil Philip, we love him.
Do we?
Yes.
Why?
Do tell.
Prince Unexpected, The Face of Immortal Boney.
Tell me what we talked about.
Immortal Boney.
Which one?
Was that the introduction?
I mean, we'd seen Koschei the Deathless before this. But that was the introduction of him as Immortal Boney.
As Boney.
Okay,
that
I remember.
Crab Man.
That I remember.
Yeah, so Neil Philip, he's done right by
us. Okay, good job, Neil Philip. Go read some Neil Philip. Do you remember this Uther guy who showed up last week?
Mm-hmm. Pendragon.
I keep thinking about him.
How do you mean?
Like, how did he get there? How did he go unnoticed for 121 episodes? And then suddenly there's this guy, Uther, who's
You've heard of retcons, right?
Who's always been there.
We have a couple left from Neil Philip.
We put in an editor's note that said, by the way, Uther's been here.
It's like, just pretend like he's been here all along. Okay, what is this story?
Intelligence and Luck.
Keep going.
Is that all we got on it?
Yeah, I was on vacation.
Well, it's time to dive in then.
Let's do this.
Czechoslovakia. Is that it?
Czechoslovakia, boom, city, boom.
We're just going to start?
Yeah. We're not here to disseminate information. We're here to read a dumb story and then tell dumber things about it.
We just celebrated America Day.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I'm raring to appropriate.
Yep.
One day, Luck met Intelligence on a garden seat and told him to move over.
This is already a twist.
This is not what I expected. Where are the five others? / maybe sanity, depending on what system they're using.
Perception's up, bird watching.
That's wisdom.
Wisdom's bird watching?
Wisdom. Perception is wisdom. Mm. It's wisdom based.
Mm. It's been a little bit since I've played.
I hope you all play D&D.
Okay, well, wisdom's off bird watching. Because wisdom knows the value of a good hobby.
Charisma's straight fucking.
Charisma's getting down with
strength.
I was gonna say
it's a power couple.
I was gonna say dexterity because he/she/they/both
mm-hmm.
is very nimble.
Dexterity's watching. And wisdom's off looking at birds.
It's a weird attribute three-way?
Well, dexterity, they don't know that dexterity's watching.
What does that make? Dexterity, strength.
Dexterity's good at stealth, right?
And charisma. What does that make? Kind of a weak paladin? I don't know.
So, a weak paladin is a three-way fuckfest between dexterity, wisdom, and strength.
I mean, a paladin that has foregone one of their primary stats.
But... I got a couple questions before we say any more of this story.
Yes.
What's constitution up to?
Just training, lifting.
Drinking.
Preparing.
Constitution.
Lifting and drinking.
Constitution's in a bar with free weights in one hand and a beer in the other.
He's training for the Saiyans to get here.
And is this a good or a boring episode of the real world?
Good.
Like, do they all live in the same house together?
I think so.
Okay.
I would watch that.
I imagine that they all do know each other.
Okay.
That's the only way I would watch The Real World, as if each of the characters were specifically an attribute from a role-playing game.
I mean, intelligence and luck do know each other, clearly.
And then sanity, depending on the system you're doing.
It's the Green Ranger.
What? Yes.
Anyway, luck met intelligence on a garden seat, told him to move over. Intelligence was still wet behind the ears and didn't know who was boss. And so he asked, why should I make room for luck? Luck's no better than I am.
The intelligence said that into the camera during a confessional.
Yeah.
What, like to a crime?
No, in the reality shows.
Ah, yes.
They pull them in front of a thing. And then they stage like they're upset still about something that happened probably 4 or 5 hours ago, and then they had to recreate that scene 10 times.
Like, we are what, like 10 words into this story? And I already have like a perfect visual of everything that's happening. Like, this person just approaches another person and says, hey, move. That person like looks affronted, and then a camera cut to them talking into the camera about how fucked up this is.
What, who does he think he is? Who does luck, like, I'm as good as luck. I went to Dartmouth.
That sounds like something somebody would say if they were not as good as luck.
Just
I am.
I am awesome. I am better than luck. Look at my degree.
From Dartmouth?
Yeah.
Is that worth a lot?
I don't know. It was the first college that came to mind.
Could you sell one?
Sure. You got eBay.
You got eBay.
Okay, so in response to this, Luck challenges him to go along with some random peasant's son who's plowing a field nearby to see if this fellow does better with intelligence or luck. And that will prove once and for all who makes way for who when one of them wants to sit on a garden bench.
He's going
to
do what?
It seems fair.
He's going to go with this random son, see if he can influence his life better than luck can.
They're going to apply themselves to this dude's work.
Yes, to see who can have the greater effect.
Yeah.
These are the inside-out characters.
There you go. We found it. Who is in that movie?
Amy Poehler.
Who else?
Bill Hader.
Ugh.
The lady who plays Phyllis on The Office.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And the hell is his name? He's so angry all the time.
Angry?
Yeah. His whole job is being an angry comedian.
Lewis Black,
yeah.
Okay. All right, that's a good role for him. I'm glad he's sticking around.
Have you not seen Inside Out?
No.
Cordy, we got work to do.
I'll survive.
We need to stop watching B-movie and B-movie knockoffs and actually show you good film.
We need to stop watching Teen Task Force over and over other movies.
I've made it this far.
It's only been 4 times, Tyler. There are people who haven't seen Teen Task Force yet. We have to.
But
show
now
this.
They will.
You guys listening should check out a movie called Teen Task Force
if you can find it, because sometimes it's not called that. Also, look for Task Force 2001.
Yeah,
is that it?
That's one of them.
Could be either one.
There was a third title that appeared in the menu screen.
It is maybe the finest dog acting I've ever seen.
It really is. That dog's better than Lassie, and I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. So what's happening?
So intelligence agrees to this bet, and he enters the plowboy's head. As soon as the plowboy feels intelligence in his head, he thinks, why should I plow all day until I die? I can make my fortune easily somewhere else. So he stops plowing and he goes to tell his dad that he doesn't like being a peasant, he'd rather learn to be a gardener. His father asks if he's gone mad, but then thinks about it and says, well, if that's what you want, go ahead, and I'll just let your brother inherit the cottage. I don't care. We have like 12 of them.
Is that a threat? Or is this just an amicable family conversation?
I think it's an amicable family conversation. Like, at first he's like, are you daft? And then he thinks about it and he's like, no, it's one less mouth to feed.
This is intelligence working?
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to win?
It's got to be luck.
I think it's going to be luck. I don't want it to be luck.
Fairy tales love luck and they hate intelligence.
Yeah, I want this person to win out through making a smart plan mm-hmm. and following through and taking some ownership over their life. Because I'm a red-blooded American, and I think that if you do that, then then good things should happen, rather than...
Nah, man, he's going to get into some star-crossed nonsense.
Rather than just, like, whoopsie, I fell down a magic well, and now I'm the mayor.
I'm the mayor of the kingdom. I'm king mayor.
I really like the idea of a war mayor. Because we talk about, like, war presidents and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Or, like, war, you know, like, warlike kings. But you don't ever hear about war mayors. I think mayors should have the ability to declare war on each other.
Sell me on this, because I have a better pitch.
I think it would be fun if... we had federal, state, and local armies, and they could declare war on each other.
Did you say it would be fun?
Well, when I say fun, I mean...
Athens and Atlanta would be constantly at war because you know that army would be comprised of UGA fans.
I want the good old days of city-states, but they can't use modern weapons. It has to be, like nothing that was invented after the Battle of Hastings.
How do you feel about were-mayors?
Were-mayors? I don't see why these are mutually exclusive.
I'm not entirely sure what that means yet.
Ordinary citizen by day, but then a full moon comes and suddenly
does he turn into the mayor? Mayor on a moon?
Right. Is that better? Or is it a wolf mayor?
Is it a wolf that turns into a mayor?
Yeah, it's ordinary.
I think that is the key.
And then he has to, like, pass as much legislation as he can before he turns back into a wolf.
A mayor once bit a wolf.
That's a good TV show.
The aide opens the door the next morning, and it's just glowing eyes in the darkness. And a wolf runs out into the woods.
Maybe not a TV show. Maybe
with Ty flying by him.
Whoever produces these, like, really crappy made-for-TV Christmas movies, we should call them.
Yeah, we need to get Three Dogateers Save Christmas LLC.
Whoever made that, whatever that stupid company is, something Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Who made these 24 garbage movies that we have.
And Treasure.
23 garbage movies, one amazing movie called Teen Task Force.
It's the best movie ever made.
Oh my gosh, I've really watched it, like, more times than some very, very good movies.
Anyway, this son is a gardener now?
He's lost the cottage. He's gained a name, though. His name is now Vanek. And he doesn't care, because he quickly found an apprenticeship with the king's gardener. For everything the gardener showed him, he understood so much more. And before long, he stopped obeying the gardener's orders entirely and did things his own way. The gardener was angry at first until he realizes, oh, the garden is way better because Vanek has a lot more intelligence than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So before long, Vanek made the garden so beautiful that the king took great delight and frequently walked in it with the queen and the princess. The princess is, of course, a hottie hotcakes, but had been mute since the age of 12.
I mean, that's no reason to not take an interest.
I mean, in princess times, that's more reason to.
Is it? Why? Because she's not yakking all day?
Yeah.
Am I right? Sitcom?
Yeah, this one was ideal. She hit puberty and stopped talking. So you got all the cute lisping childhood.
And as soon as she has something to complain about, you just turn that off. I think would be good. I do not think teenagers should be allowed to speak.
You're spending a good deal of time trapped in a room with them. Can say they mostly speak in memes nowadays.
Yes, I think they should lose speech for 7 years.
The majority of their conversation is repeating quotes off the internet to each other and then laughing about it and then doing that again immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Teenagers, just hang in there.
It gets better.
Also, do you think we have teenage listeners?
Also, fidget spinners, ironic or not, are not hilarious. Please calm down.
Any listeners we have that are teenagers are exempted.
Yo, teens, hit us up.
Just tell us what's going on.
Tell us what's cool.
Because I don't understand it anymore.
I don't either. It's getting, like, I spent a lot of time on the internet, but it's getting to the point where I think there's a different internet that only shows itself if you're 18 or younger.
I think it's called
Club Penguin.
Oh, I was going to say it's called 9GAG.
No, 9GAG is dead. 9GAG is what we had.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it still around?
It's kind of. I see it pop up occasionally, but I think it's starting to die. I did hear the phrase Club Penguin, and I didn't know what it meant, so yeah, that's probably true.
Is that still going?
No. I think it closed down and they started something new.
It did close down.
Yeah.
Habbo Hotel closed, right?
A while ago.
Okay, I think that's what I'm thinking of.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Don't... don't go looking for it now, because it's not really worth it.
So the king was actually sad that he couldn't hear his daughter's ramblings, and he said
hormone-fueled thoughts.
Whoever could get her to speak again about fidget spinners or whatever shall be her husband.
If she learned to speak...
My sweet girl's head is full of the dankest memes.
I cannot get to them. If she learned to speak for, if she learned to speak for a day, he would realize... that she is just like a simmering crock pot of fuck juices swirling around. And this is not a balanced cocktail. It's kind of what your body does for a few years. They're just like, hey, what do we need? Is it this? Okay, let's dump a lot of that in there and then kind of bring the rest of the recipe up to match. We're going to flood your body with testosterone.
What curse has befallen you, my daughter? Why won't you tell me about Arthur gifts anymore?
Explain to me why Shrek is funny again.
Is it funny again?
It is.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
They would just say Shrek or quote Shrek.
They just say Shrek?
that's what they did. Or they quote Bane.
What?
They'd quote Bane from The Dark Knight.
Oh, that's too bad. I don't understand. Teenagers, please help.
I want to see a teen comedian, though. Like a stand-up.
I've seen clips of one or two.
Like their set list. No, like a bad one.
Oh, okay.
Like their set list is they just go up and they say Shrek and pause for applause.
I mean, if
and
their
all
audience...
all the teens in the room...
If
laugh.
Their audience is teenagers, then they might do really well. That's really upsetting to think about.
they go up, they like tap the microphone and they say, new phone, who dis?
And then they start singing, somebody once told me.
I have seen a resurgence of Smash Mouth,
yeah,
which is not a good
hand
thing.
Hand in hand with Shrek, my
yeah,
friend.
No, it's
I know,
it does. The two are connected.
Somebody,
they're intertwined.
Somebody for the last 2 weeks, the first words of each of their tweets... formed like the first verse to that song. Like they'd spent a long time.
See, that's poetry.
Doing this. Yeah, I wasn't upset about it. I still don't like the song.
When I was teaching the teenagers how to draw a character design, bring it up from simple shapes to a final character, I was of course getting their input on it. They're also really into demon summoning. So we ended up
Yes.
That's a teen thing.
We ended up with a demon girl named Jessica Fidget Spinner.
That's not bad.
She said ka-chow.
That's not bad. That is
like the race car from Cars.
That is one of those things where if you did that, if you did that with some self-awareness, that's great. That's a great joke. If you did it like firmly believing,
I don't think they
in the comedic. No, I doubt it. But like,
it's a pretty good creepypasta.
It is.
Yeah.
You say Jennifer fidget spinner three times, or Jessica fidget spinner three times in the mirror. And then she ka-chows into the room.
No, trust me, the air in this room was thick with irony.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
They had just discovered it, and so it was new and fresh to mm-hmm. them.
Oh, gosh.
And that was the basis of all their enjoyment.
It's like, I remember our English teacher. I know we're on a long tangent, but we'll get there. Is this a long story?
No.
Okay, it's fine. My English teacher in high school showed us these, like, the worst sentences in like, high school literature story assignments. And I remember, like there were things like character descriptions. Like, she was exactly as tall as a tree that was 6 feet tall.
Oh, I remember that.
I'm just like, some of them, though, like, if you knew what you were doing, like, they're very funny lines. If you don't know, then it becomes kind of dumb. But like some of them, I read them, I was like, this is very Douglas Adams-esque, like just in how dumb they are. If you knew, it'd be great.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I was reading iTunes reviews for our show recently, just because I hadn't checked them in a while.
Oh, uh-oh. Is there anything good?
Somebody was kind and said that we had a good show. Their only complaint was that sometimes the rambling gets to be a bit too much.
Oh,
so I want to say to that individual, maybe turn this one off.
Well, all right. Good feedback.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
The rest of you, do you feel this way?
I would be lying if I said I could do anything about it.
I will try to keep you two in line. Okay, so, yeah, this girl can't talk.
Yep.
Dad wants to get the dank memes out of her head and has declared any lad who can get them from her head to her mouth will be her husband. So a ton of lords and people had tried, but all sucked. So Vanek decided he's going to try his luck with this lady, and they take him to the princess's room.
He's going to try his what?
Huh?
He's going to try his what?
Look at you picking up on the subtle subtext of this story. All right, this lady had a pretty little dog that she loved because the dog was clever and understood everything she wanted. She didn't even have to tell him to get her a cold one. He just knew to get her a cold one. So that she could open up with her broskies, picked up some things.
Yeah, I see that.
Yes.
So Vanek went into the room with the king and acted as though he didn't even see the princess, but he turned to the dog and said, "I have heard, doggy, that you are very clever, and I need your advice. I was with a sculptor and a tailor, traveling through a forest, and we had to spend the night. We made a fire to be safe from wolves and agreed to take watches. The sculptor had first watch, and to pass the time, he carved a girl out of a log. A tailor took the second watch. He saw the weird doll that the sculptor had explained as a means of passing time, and he passed his watch, making clothes for the girl.
You're going to tell me that this dog is sitting here listening to all of this and hasn't just wandered away at this point.
Intently. Maybe pooping. I took the last watch, and I asked the tailor what it was about, and the tailor told me, and suggested that if I find time dragging, I should teach her to speak. And so I did.
Yeah.
In the morning, when my companions awoke, everyone argued about who got to keep the girl and who did the most work in bringing her into being. So, little doggy, to which of us does the girl belong? Dog said nothing.
'Cause dog.
Yep.
But the princess shouts, "Obviously you, 'cause what's the point of clothes if she can't speak? You gave her the best gift, so she belongs to you."
Okay.
So Vanek says, "You have passed your own sentence. I have given you speech again, and therefore you belong to me."
Good move.
So one of the king's counselors then says, whoa, wait a minute. We'll give you a nice reward, but you're only a peasant's son, so there's no way you get to marry this girl." And the king agreed with them.
Yeah, you suck.
"Look at your outfit. Not dank at all." So Vanek refused the other rewards and brought up the king's promise and reminded him that a king's word is law, and if a king wants others to observe his laws, he must first keep them himself. Therefore, give me the princess. The counselor orders Vanek to be seized and bound, as anyone who tells the king what to do is insulting and deserves death.
Unless it's an advisor.
They can't tell him what to do. They can just advise him. The king agrees and orders this man executed. So Vanek is bound and led to the place of execution where Luck was waiting and whispered to intelligence, "See, with you he's about to get executed. Make way and let me take your place."
Well, I mean, come on now. How long is every turn? Like, eventually, yeah, you're going to screw something up. Mm-hmm. Why is the competition still going? Like, there's no set term limit for the competition.
So Luck entered Vanek, and the executioner's sword broke against the scaffold as though someone had snapped it. Before they could get a new one, the trumpeter and horseback galloped up with a royal carriage following.
That's lucky.
It is lucky, I was about to say.
The princess had apparently talked her father around and also reminded him that the king was capable of making Vanek a prince, so it was all moot anyway.
Fortuitous!
And the king said, "Oh yeah, well then let's make him a prince. Make way for Prince Ali."
I knew it.
So the counselor who had set the king against Vanek was executed in Vanek's place because, damn it, people came out to watch a man lose his head and they're going to do it. And then there's a wedding. Afterward, when they were leaving the wedding, intelligence was on the road, and since he couldn't help meeting Luck, he bent his head and slipped to one side as though cold water had been thrown upon him. And ever since, it's been said that intelligence has always given way to Luck whenever they meet. The end.
What fun happenstance.
Can't say that I like it.
Oh, I can say that you're going to discuss it.
Huh? We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know if you can say that.
I mean, I can. It doesn't mean anything's going to come of it. But I'm allowed to say those words in that sequence.
As long as you have the cards for them.
You know, it's a real shame that Wisdom was off looking at, like, a blue-billed hoggle swag or whatever.
There are, like, thousands of real birds you could have said.
Yeah, I don't like any of them.
You're not a bird fan.
I like blue-billed hoggle swags.
It's a British bird, I think, right?
It's the only bird with teeth.
It's the one that wets their nests.
That eats their nests?
Wets their nests.
Oh. Well, then they and eat then them.
It's a true story.
It's a true story about a fake bird.
It's a true story about a fake bird. It's true that it is a story.
It's the truest story you can get.
Anyway, it's a shame that Wisdom was not around to help intelligence negotiate more true and honest and fair terms to this stupid competition.
Yeah, this is what I... And intelligence, you would think, would be able to do... Take care of that.
That seems like Wisdom to me.
You think so?
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
Intelligence would argue the correctness of a situation regardless of the audience he's talking to.
Yeah.
Where Wisdom would maybe know how to work their way around.
This is why I like the Church of the Knife.
This is why?
Because these people are not lucky. These people go forth and make their fortunes.
That's true. They defy luck.
It is a group of women who are in charge of their destinies.
They make fate their bitch.
Basically. There's none of this. Maybe none of this happenstance.
Maybe that's the quote we need to put in Latin.
Make fate your bitch.
Yeah. I don't know how well that translates, but we can try.
I know someone who speaks pretty good Latin.
Is it Google Translate? Because I'm going to look.
No, it's like a real person who used to do like oratory competitions in Latin. So
how close to their name is Google? How many shared letters?
One.
Not good enough.
Same number of syllables.
So I don't like it. There's a reason we waited till last to do this one.
Oh yeah. And there's a reason that we like put off telling the story in the middle of telling the story also.
Yeah. Yeah, because we knew what the ending was going to be, and we didn't want it. So, what is it worth going through and trying to figure out what intelligence should have done differently?
Well, I mean,
like at any point,
that big one is like having a concrete ending
right.
to the competition,
right?
Like, you can't just say like, "Well, I made his life better. I got him to pursue his actual interests." And he rose to the ranks of being royal gardener, and he spends right. all this time with the royal family. And then he helps them by giving their daughter speech back. Right. And whoops, he stumbled at the end. I guess I lose.
Yeah, you need concrete metrics to measure against.
I think the story would be better if it followed the more realistic moral of you can use intelligence to get yourself in the right place, but you will still need a little bit of luck to seal the deal.
That's a good moral.
Like sometimes it just doesn't work out. You're not in the right place at the right time.
Yes.
It's not a good moral for a blade to suddenly break on its way to your neck, and then a horse comes to save you, and you're a prince.
I think that teaches our children the wrong message.
Yeah, like, oh, just don't worry about studying or anything.
Don't worry about anything.
Like, luck will take care of you.
Something will happen to you. It'll be good.
Only good things happen, unless you're a counselor. Then you're not a real person. So it's okay. But yeah, luck didn't get him to the point where he could become a prince. Intelligence got him there. And luck just did the final push. And that's how it really works.
Luck took credit for everything.
Intelligence yeah, loosened the pickle jar. Luck just popped it off at the end.
And said, look how strong I am.
While strength was...
Just fucking,
that's right.
Just pounding his way into charisma.
Or the other way around. We don't know who's...
I think strength would be the top.
We don't know whose giblets are going where. Or interlocking with who's and where's and why's. It'd be a weird scene in Inside Out, I bet.
Yeah. You're correct.
Haven't checked that section of DeviantArt.
I wasn't even thinking about that.
I'm sure it exists, though.
I'm sure somebody has, because it's emotions, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure somebody has added in, like...
Lust.
Libido shows up to party.
Yeah, libido. Just kind of a wang-shaped... What are they? Just blobs?
I mean, they're...
Colored
They're things. Like abstract humanoids.
Yeah, wang-shaped abstract humanoid.
Man, I kind of want to see DeviantArt mapped out, like with all the different slums.
No, you don't.
No, I don't want to.
Like, is a city plan?
Yeah, like I don't want to go to
like
the places.
Like a very, very, very high bird's eye view.
Yeah, I don't want to go to the places. I just want to see them labeled on the map, like Sonic Town.
Yeah, here's the sprawling Sonic District. It's all Hoovervilles.
Yeah, and then there's just a massive swamp of anime porn.
And it is a swamp.
Kind of in the center.
Because there's tentacles everywhere.
It'd be a little weird. What do we do to this story? Like, we know ways to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed those briefly.
Yeah, we turn it into a reality TV show and we add the other stats.
Yes, you get some real metrics going. You have an end to the competition. They both have to start from, like, a level playing field. I think they should work on two different people.
Yeah, who can't?
Intelligence takes one peasant.
Same.
Luck right, takes the other peasant, so you can't coast on each other's work.
You need some kind of control.
Right.
For your damn experiment.
And then, yes, and you need a third peasant.
Yeah, third one that's just there on their own peasant juices.
It's just a placebo peasant.
Yeah. They just plow the whole time. That's all they know to do is plow.
their eyes are just glassed over, plowing all day and night.
As is their station in life.
Yes.
To plow and only plow. So that's...
With neither luck or intelligence applied.
Yes. That is. I mean, I think all the attributes should get in there and have a go at...
See who's truly the best.
Yeah.
And then they have to learn to work in teams. So it's like reverse Survivor, where they all start out individually, and then they have to form tribes and see which peasant they can steer to more success.
This would also be a good video game, I think. Can imbue a peasant with one of, like, seven attributes, and you're trying to steer them toward a successful life. Yeah, so there you go.
Everyone starts on lust.
It's just fake stat allocation in the beginning. Like, it looks like you have all these points to spend, but as soon as you pick one, you're like, the other one's just gray out, and you're locked in.
Yep. Permanently. Can't make any changes. I mean, there's the issue. We did it.
Yeah.
Now what?
We stop.
Yeah. We got other stuff to do.
We stop, it's over?
Yeah.
Well, we should cast it at least.
You think so?
I think so. I think it sounds like an animated movie to me. Maybe because of Inside Out.
Maybe because it is one.
Yeah, it is one already. But like, who do we cast as at least peasant and intelligence and luck? Though I admit, it's not striking me very hard for this group.
I don't know if I, if pressed, I know celebrities that embody RPG attributes.
That's tough.
Like, emotions is fine.
Yes, that's a little better. But, like, intelligence as a celebrity?
Yeah.
The answer, I think, is James Woods. Because he is very, like, his IQ is something like 180.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that could be fun anyway. He was Hades.
Sure.
He has some viewpoints that I disagree with, but... And luck is Charlie Day / Charlie Kelly.
I mean, yes.
I think
I will agree with that one.
You know what? I'm gonna change this premise. This should be an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I mean, it kind of is, yeah.
Where
it each, fits that script pretty well.
It does.
That template.
Yeah. So okay, that's what I'm going with.
Gordy's recommendation: don't listen to this story. Just go watch Always Sunny.
Basically, yeah.
Change priorities.
Basically, yes.
Like, yeah, I'm not sold on James Woods, but I am sold on Charlie
being luck,
riding somebody's coattails to victory.
I would say Dennis would make a good intelligence then. I'm okay with that.
All right.
Is that it?
I think so.
That's it.
Okay.
You seem nervous. Are we low on time?
It's a little short.
We skimping this week?
Sometimes they just solve themselves.
I mean, yeah. There's not a lot to do this time.
Unless you just have anything else on your plate that we need to go over.
We're disappointed. We knew we would be.
Sometimes it's just a matter of fulfilling the duty. Fulfilling the promise.
We can't ramble too much or that one listener will be sad, so...
Should we?
We're trying to take your comments under advisement.
Trying.
We should really just change the subtitle or the pitch of the show to like Making Sense of Senseless Tales, but like there's other stuff mixed in, so just set your expectations in the right place.
We can change the subtitle to Carmen Unsuccessfully Tries to Wrangle Two People into Listening to a story.
There you go. It's like, what if Mr.
What the Folklore Fussy Baby Corner?
I was going to say, like, what if Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood had hecklers?
Should we promise something for next week? Or do we still need to figure out what's going to happen?
Promise?
I'm not making any promises. You can promise things.
I have prepared material.
What do you mean?
That works for me, because I got to spend all weekend painting.
What prepared material?
I've been doing some research.
Yeah.
I have some stories that I want to present to the two of you.
Okay.
For your consideration.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
So I guess expect that next week.
Okay. Sure. We'll change it up.
So thank you to our listeners, to our Patreon subscribers, to Neil Phillip for continuing to provide us with some kind of story.
This is kind of a miss, though.
Yeah. We'll forgive you because of Boney. And of course, as always, thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
We're What the Folklore? That's how it works. Happily ever after.
She'll live happily ever after. This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have any feedback for us, you can leave it either by Gmail or Facebook. Our Gmail account is wtfolklore@gmail.com, and our Facebook page can be found at facebook.com/WTFolklore. Feel free to send in stories if you have any particularly odd pieces of folklore or mythology that you would like to hear us talk about. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales.